Blog Talk Radio.
What is up? It's a tremendous Friday to you. It's a Friday wrong party. You're listening to the Hockey Guy Podcast. My name is Hunter Thompson. I'm with Shannon. Chris, how's it going in Florida today?
It's going pretty good. Busy week and Easter weekend. So it'll be fun to just see everyone around and the place will be hopping.
The only crappy thing about today is that everything's closed. No stores,
yeah.
No liquor store, nothing like the true essentials of being like that.
But whatever, I mean, it'll still be fun. It's Easter break, everyone's on break, everyone's out partying.
Hey, nothing better than a party. All right, let's talk a little hockey. A lot of games last night, a lot of effect on the National Hockey League standings. Washington Capitals beat your Montreal Canadiens 5-4 in a shootout. Ovechkin scored twice, bumped his goal total for the year to 52. We'll talk more about what's really emerging as the generational talent in terms of goal scoring in the National Hockey League. The Ottawa Senators beat the Tampa Bay Lightning 2-1 in a shootout. That, and with a Boston Bruins 3-2 win over the Detroit Red Wings, Ottawa is still 3 points behind for the final wildcard spot. Meanwhile, the Bruins are catching up to the Red Wings now. They're both tied for third in the Atlantic. Wings better tighten up a little bit before the end of the year. Meanwhile, in the West, St. Louis beat the Calgary Flames 4-1. Flames are holding on for life for that third Pacific Division spot. Division rival LA Kings laid waste to Edmonton 8-2. Keeps the Kings second in the wild card spot as they and the Winnipeg Jets have 90 points. Meanwhile, in Winnipeg, Dustin Byfuglien suspended 4 games for a cross-check on JT Miller. We'll talk about that later in the show and what effect that'll have on the Jets. Let's start with Washington, man. They are awesome right now. 7-3 in their last 10, win 3 straight. And Alex Ovechkin, the wide goal margin leader for the league, 52 now for the year. Chris, what are your thoughts on the monster season that Alex Ovechkin has had? And has it finally clicked for Ovi, or has it been in front of us this whole time?
I think it's clicked in a way, but I also think it's been in front of us the whole time. He's changed his game dramatically since he's entered the league. I mean, he's always had that blistering shot that no one can compare to. But he's the all-time scorer. Like, there's no one that's played in the last 10 years that you can say has a better shot than him. I saw some crazy stat yesterday that he has – I think he's ranked 11th in goals since 1993. He joined the league in 2004, and in 1993, he's ranked 11th. Like that, he was a little kid, and there's people playing, and they like Jaromir Jagr and all those guys, and he's ranked 11th in goals. This guy, he doesn't get enough credit, and he did when he was younger. You know, it was always against the Crosby, Ovechkin race. And then Crosby kind of ran away with it because of the assists and all the points. And Crosby is a much better playmaker. He has the best backhand I think I've ever seen. But Ovechkin, he's got the hardest shot, the most unpredictable shot. And he just he's a big body. He's one of my favorite players to watch. You know, I'm Canadian. I love Sidney Crosby. He's done everything for this country. But I've always loved Ovechkin more than Crosby. And it's just because the way he plays the game. He's hard. And he's just the most fun player to watch, I find, with the way he plays in the game.
I find for so long we didn't give Ovechkin the credit he deserved for simply because we saw Crosby getting results in Pittsburgh. He won a Stanley Cup in 2009 and then in 2010, he had the – like, that calendar year between 2009 and 2010 was all Crosby. He won the Stanley Cup, the Golden Goal, won it for Canada, and most recently he won gold in 2014. And I think it's followed Ovechkin for so long, his lack of team results, and we've never really given him benefit of the doubt when you look at his offensive totals. So I mean, like, I'm just going to ring off his goal totals from 2005, 2006, and just bear with me here. 52, 46, 65, 56, 50. And then I remember after 2010, they lost to the Habs in the playoffs, and the big thing was how, okay, now they have to you'll remember, like, they lost to Montreal in the first round, and everyone said they have to change their game. They have to be a more defensive-minded style. And so he had, the next year, he focused on his defensive game, had 32 goals. The next year, he had 38 goals, even though they didn't do anything in the playoffs. And then you look at these last 3 years, like, he had 32 goals in the lockout-shortened season, which it's on pace for a 60-goal campaign. That's unbelievable. And even last year, 51 goals. And this year, he, like I said, he's got 52. He is one of the most prolific goal scorers of our generation. I mean, like, we're bearing witness to a guy who, not just that, is 6'3", 230, and a lot of people say that 230 is more like a 250. He's one of the biggest, thickest, most physically dominant players of our generation. We've never given him this benefit because of the Russian passport, because of the lack of team results. We see guys like Sidney Crosby and Jonathan Toews as these poster childs for leadership and Canadian and being a true hockey player, when the reality is Alex Ovechkin might be the best goal scorer I've ever seen in my lifetime.
And I think he will be. I mean, they are coming up in the drafts or in the league right now. You can say has a better shot than this guy. That's unfair.
He really is, like, go ahead.
He just saying, had the guys that Crosby and Toews have had. Toews has Payne, he has Sharp, he has Keith. Crosby has Letang, he has Malkin. And, I mean, like, Backstrom's a cool season. But I'll take a Vetch, Malkin over Payne over him. He hasn't had that to build a stand up on. And this is just team sport. It's not you can just go out there and bring your team to the playoffs. You have to have you need to have a team that can bring you to the playoffs. It's not Ovechkin. He can't carry that team. Last year, I mean, this guy has had so many different coaches. And finally, I think Barry would be the right coach because Barry Trotz is the top three in the last decade for sure.
Yeah, the addition of Barry Trotz has really benefited the Capitals. And you look at, too, like bringing in Brooks Orpik and Matti Niskanen. I mean, their blue line has become one of the strongest in the Eastern Conference. We talk about the Rangers' blue line, not to mention the Chicago Blackhawks or the LA Kings when like, I'm looking at the Caps right now. They have four blue liners with at least 20 points in Niskanen, John Carlson, who continuously gets underrated by analysts in the league, Mike Green, who I've criticized throughout his career, but you can't argue production. He's still one of the more productive blue liners in the National Hockey League, despite his defensive efficiencies. And Carl Alsner, who's been a mainstay on the Capitals for a long time and has continuously been a top four defenseman. You know, Washington's really good right now, and I think that we've always called Ovechkin a coach killer. We've always said that he doesn't do enough to win. He doesn't want it bad enough, but I think he's really emerging as a guy who, you know, all those criticisms he took his whole career, maybe were unwarranted, and maybe we're now, like, we're finally acknowledging it's not too late that we're watching one of the best players in our lifetime. I mean, right now, his goal total, I believe it's 474. He's got 474 career goals in the NHL. So he turns 30 in September 2015. So he'll be 30 years old when he has 500 career goals. Just think about that in the sense that not only did they have a shortened season, so he couldn't play that year, or the fact that he was drafted first overall in 2004. So there was an entire rookie campaign in 2004-05
where we missed what could have happened, and instead we got the battle of the Phenoms, 5-6 with him and Crosby. I feel like he's always had this battle where he has to one-up Sid, and like you said, Sid had a better supporting cast and better circumstances, and it worked out for him. And you know, I find we give Sid too much of the benefit of the doubt. We can talk about Pittsburgh struggles, which we will very soon, but just my final thought of Ovechkin, he really is one of the best players of our generation. He's about to win his third Rocket Richard trophy. He's got more hearts than Sid. He's got as many Art Ross. Like, we don't give him enough credit. And so I'm glad he's having this monster campaign in a year where it seems like no one in the NHL is going to reach 100 points.
Yeah, and it'll be a race between him and Price for that Hart trophy. I think Price will get it, but he's coming in there hot, and that power play. I mean, I think they're ranked number one. Yesterday, the reason Montreal lost is because they just gave power play opportunities. I mean, they have so many options. They've got Carlson, they've got Ovechkin, they've got Backstrom, and they've got Joel Ward, who I think is one of the most underrated guys in the NHL. Great hands. And you wouldn't think so. I mean, he's a third liner. But, I mean, I like the way he plays the game. I like him in Nashville. And him, he's a Barry Trotz kind of guy.
Joel Ward, hey, he's got one more goal, and he's going to have another 20-goal season. I mean, he's just comes in and does his job. Does no more than what you can ask for him. And he'll build that off his 50-point campaign last year.
Yeah. I mean, this team, I don't see it in the cup here. But, Evgeny Kuznetsov, Etchkin, Ward, Fair, like, the pieces off of, they're going to have to hurry up a little bit. Because, I mean, a lot of these guys, it's not like they're young guys. But this team is going to be scary for years. I really do. I hope. I really. If Montreal's a question, because I really. Ovechkin can get this cup and prove all the haters wrong. And we can be appreciating him.
Without a doubt. And I hope he does go on a little bit of a run. I hope we see Ovi extended into the playoff season, because I feel like the deeper he goes this year, the more productive he'll be. This is the Hockey Guys podcast. Yours truly, Hunter Crowther, with Chris Shannon. Let's talk about the Sens. The team that seemed like the biggest story in the NHL and the Hamburglar, and they were going to make this big run. And right now, with a 2-1 shoot to win last night against the Lightning, that combined with a 3-2 win for the Boston Bruins over the Detroit Red Wings, Sens are still 3 points back of the Wings for the final wildcard spot. It seems like they've slowed down a little bit in Ottawa. And now Boston's starting to figure out their game. They've got, I think each team has 5 games left in the schedule. I'm not sure now. The more I look at it, and we thought that Ottawa would be able to catch up to them. I'm looking at it now. The Bruins have 4 games left, and the Sens have 5. But still, 3 points is a lot of ground to catch in these last handful of games. Do you think the Sens will be able to move past the Bruins for the final wildcard spot, or is it just too little too late?
It's too late. It's done. I think we have our top 8 teams. Ottawa, they lost some games that they needed to win at the most important time. I don't know what to say. Boston really has woken up. Both, they really did push out Florida and Ottawa. They wanted it more. They have the experience. But, this is a good thing for Ottawa. You know, you have so many young players on that team. It's a good learning experience. This is an experience that it teaches you next year. You have to win every single game as hard as you can. You can't take any days off. Every game's huge because it all comes back to haunt you. But, Hammond, it's a great story. It's not going to be a story that we're going to forget about, even if they didn't make the playoffs. We got to be – like, it was such an amazing run. I still can't believe it, and I'm still an Ottawa fan. I still hope they can make it, but just realistically, I don't see them doing it.
I think the big thing – and I agree. I think it's getting to that point where it's too little too late for the Sens, and all the credit to them. They battled hard to put themselves in this position. I remember, I think it was no more than a month or a month and a half ago, I was thinking, well, if Ottawa starts losing a string of games here, they might have a chance at a lottery pick, but they put themselves in a position where, yeah, they're going to draft in the middle of the pack, but you've created this momentum where you think you might have a goalie in Hammond. I think you still have to evaluate the goaltending position in the off season, because this little PDO on hot streak might not last throughout the year. But like you said, I think it might be too little too late for the Sens. All the credit for the Bruins. They've won four straight. They were having a real tough time a few weeks ago. They're still dealing with the injuries to Dougie Hamilton. But, you know, the Bruins, they just do what they do, man. They do the same thing every time. They just they think they're done. You think that they've put themselves in a position where they can't do anything, but before you know it, they've caught up. And now the Pittsburgh Penguins, like, they're 3-6-1 in their last 10. And now they've been jumped by the Islanders and the Capitals in the standings. And so now you've got the Penguins sitting in the first wild card spot. And the Bruins are only 2 points behind them. So it's gone to a point now where the Penguins might have played themselves – well, they've already played themselves out of home ice advantage, and now they might have to face the East-leading New York Rangers in the first round if Boston keeps this up. And if Boston jumps Pittsburgh for that first wild card spot, Bruins might be facing your Habs in the first round, and that might be the biggest test for Carey Price and company.
Yeah, and I told you before the show, if Boston plays Montreal – and I had to bet money on it, I would probably put my money on Boston. And I'm not saying Boston's better than they were last year. I just think that Tuukka Rask, he struggled so much against Montreal. Lucic and Bergeron and Char, they all have something to prove against Montreal. I think that they're going to be the underdogs coming into this series and beating Montreal. And I really do hope that this is the team they don't play. I hope. I'd rather them play Pittsburgh because, you know, that series – even if they do win it, they're going to be mentally hurt and physically, and I don't know how far they can go. And that's the same thing last year. We all Habs fans were saying, oh, yeah, they won the Cup. I mean, they won the Cup in our hearts. They passed Boston. I mean, they didn't really. And after that series, after losing to New York, we all forgot about that happy time of beating Boston. But that game seven that we beat Boston, everyone was – that was a good time on Habs Twitter and the Habs world. Yeah, it's kind of crazy what's going on here. A week ago, we were scared that Boston was going to make the playoffs, and now they're fighting for Pittsburgh. I mean, if you told me Pittsburgh was going to be fighting for a wild card spot, then I would not believe you, and I would think that Crosby and Malkin both went down. And I mean, Malkin did go down, and Letang as well. This team hasn't been lucky with their players, but they also don't have a good team. I said that this year, at the beginning of the year. I thought they were going to make the playoffs, but I didn't look at them as a cup contender. They don't have the team to be a cup contender. I don't think Marc-Andre Fleury is the great goaltender that you want to go and win a cup with. I don't like that defense. I think it's old. And the young players, there's still a lot of young prospects that they have that will be good, but they're not good right now. And they aren't going to be there ready to play. They've been an unlucky team this year, but I think I can see them being knocked out the first round.
The Bruins benefited from other teams in the conference struggling as well. I mean, we look at Detroit. Detroit's 3-5-2 in their last 10, and with the loss against the Bruins, now they're tied for third in the Atlantic. I mean, Boston might not even have to play Montreal in the first round. They might just jump the Red Wings, and the Red Wings might find themselves stuck having to play against either of the Rangers or the Habs. I mean, like the East, like teams that we thought would be mainstays and rocks in the conference have struggled. And, you know, I keep jumping on the Penguins, but like you said, they've just been frustrating. And now they're not at the level that the Bruins or the LA Kings or other sports, you could say the San Antonio Spurs, they're not at that level where you just got to get in the dance. You just got to get in the playoffs and then see where it'll take you. They're not at that level yet because they're a team that constantly loses in the first or second round. They're a team that tries to make these additions like Jerome Iginla and ends up burning them in the ass. I mean, like, they haven't been the team that we thought they were. And that's not a knock against Sidney Crosby, and that's not even a knock against Evgeny Malkin. I read somewhere someone talked about Malkin's struggles this season, yet he's still averaging over a point a game, and you can't knock a guy for getting injured. I mean, to criticize someone who physically can't play in a game, you can't hold that against them. But at the same time, Pittsburgh just hasn't done themselves any favors, and now they find themselves where if there were an extra five games on top of the ones we have now and Ottawa kept winning games, who knows what catastrophe we could find where Ottawa and Boston slip into those wild card spots and Pittsburgh finds themselves done in the middle of April. But, you know, it'll be interesting in the last handful of games for the end of the season. I want to see if Pittsburgh can kind of see if it can make them click. Because right now, it'd be a first round of the Rangers and Bruins and the Penguins and the Habs. And I don't see the Penguins getting anything past Carey Price, despite the fact they might have two of the best players on the planet. But that's enough for the Eastern Conference. My goodness. Let's go over to the West. And last night, the St. Louis Blues defeated the Calgary Flames 4-1. The Flames are holding on for life right now. They're sitting third in the Pacific Division with 91 points. The LA Kings are only 1 point behind them and could jump for that final spot in the Pacific. But meanwhile, the Kings hold the second spot in the wild card. Minnesota, I think we can agree that Minnesota's locked into that first wild card spot. They're fourth in the Central, and the top three teams in the Central Division have 100 points right now, so I don't think anyone's cracking that top. But the Wild seem to be locked in that first wild card position. And meanwhile, the Kings, they just beat the crap out of the Edmonton Oilers last night, 8-2. We know how bad Edmonton is. They're just awful. I mean, they're just a bad franchise. And the Kings laid waste to them. And now the Kings, like I said, man, they find a way to squeak in. This is the time of year where they just gear up, and they're not here to screw around, even though they're only 5-5 in their last 10. But they sit in the second wild card spot with 90 points. What have you thought of the Kings' recent surge into the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, they're doing the run that you said they would. They have an easier schedule than both Winnipeg and Calgary. I'm not going to make that as an excuse, but they do. If I'm Calgary, mm-hmm. though, I'm more comfortable being the Calgary Flames than the Winnipeg Jets. You just lost your best player in Winnipeg, in Dustin Byfuglien, and this team is dramatically different without Byfuglien. If you're Winnipeg, you are the team. You're looking outside right now and out of the standings, and I don't know if you're going to be able to get in there. Like, Dustin Byfuglien, what was he thinking on that play? And you know what now? He just hurt himself. He hurt his team. And now you hope, if you're Winnipeg, that Tyler Myers can even step up another level, even though he's been great since he's joined that team. I'm a huge Winnipeg fan. I really do hope they make the playoffs, because that building is absolutely – I find them hilarious. You know, when Montreal was playing them last weekend, they had a bad game. Cheering, we want Crosby. They're cheering the Olays. You know, as a Habs fan, they're just trolling me, but it's hilarious. And they do that to everyone. They're such a good franchise. I hope they make the playoffs. And I want a lot of Canadian teams in there. You know, I want Calgary in there, and I want Winnipeg. And I still don't think LA is going to make it, even though they have an easier schedule. I really think that Winnipeg's got the depth to make the playoffs. And Calgary, I mean, I hope. They're proving all the analytic people wrong, which, yeah, sometimes is good. I like a lot of the analytic guys. You know, I like analytics, but I think there's a certain measure you can go with it. So I'm happy that's happening. And it's going to be crazy. It's going to be – what the greatest part about this is that it's going to be into the last day that we're going to see who makes the playoffs in the West. And I love that, because we're going to have games – in the, we're going to have early playoffs before April 15th.
Oh, it's felt like the playoffs for the last 2 weeks. I mean, it's been exciting hockey every single night. And, like, you look at the games today. I mean – like, the only one that really has implications for the playoffs is, I guess none of them really do. Montreal plays the Devils. The Blackhawks play the Sabres.
Let me say this. Look at San Jose. Look at their schedule. And tell me, that, I mean, they're not totally out of it yet. They have an easy schedule coming up. They play Arizona 2 more times. I'm not counting out San Jose. I don't think they're going to make it, but I'm just saying – they have an easy schedule, and, which is absolute, I saw this yesterday, they play L.A. their last game of the season. So imagine if L.A.
Ooh,
and if, I know, what if San, I really do hope, even if San Jose is not making it in the playoffs, I hope they dominate the L.A. Kings so that the Kings can make the playoffs, and we'll all be going crazy about that.
I feel like that would be the ultimate redemption for the Kings if they could, or for the Sharks, if they could be the team that knocks the Kings out of the playoffs, even if the Sharks don't make the playoffs. The Sharks have 5 games left in the season. If they win those, they get 10. That gives them 95. Right now, the Kings and the Jets sit at 90, so you'd hope that those two teams really struggle, and the Jets could. I mean, we said it with Dustin Byfuglien. Like, that's just such an unnecessary thing you did against JT Miller. You got to be smart about that. And I understand you don't want guys hitting your goalie. Like I remember even when I played, I hated when guys would try to whack for a rebound and end up smashing your goalie 5-6 times. I get that. But yeah, with a handful of games left in the season, you can't be taking a two-hander to a guy's neck as he's already down on the ice and putting yourself in a position where, like, Patrick Berge and the suspension team, they don't want to give you 5 games for the rest of the year. You don't think they want to see the best players on those teams try to get their team in the playoffs? But you don't put them in a good position. Like, it's a dumb choice by him. He makes a dumb decision. And now he's going to be out for all but one games left for the Jets. And they're struggling right now. I mean, like you said, I would love to see the Jets in the playoffs too. We've waited for this. We want to see them in the postseason. But you've now put yourself in a position where you've just let the defending Stanley Cup champs have an advantage on you. They came to that, they faced Edmonton the last night and said, no, not today. Not today, their boys. Laid smackdown on them. And now they sit comfortably, well, not comfortably, but in that second wild card spot. And it just bugs me about that. Like, it's just a bonehead move on Byfuglien's part. And I'm sure he did it. I'm sure he looked at the jumbo score or whatever it's called. I don't even care. He looked at the jumbotron after, looked at it, and regretted it. But yeah, it's just a dumb part on his behalf. We got about 5 minutes left. Chris, any last thoughts on this exciting wildcard race at the end of the season?
No, I mean, it's going to go on to the last day, and I don't know. And we're right about that Mike Richards thing. I think, did he sit out yesterday? I saw that he's sitting out maybe. He's just that extra forward, and he didn't do much in his return. And it's kind of, he's like, you know what, this is not the team I want to play for anymore. You guys kicked me out, and now you want me back. I don't really want to play here. So I'm also not a fan of L.A., I think they've won 2 cups. They've had their share right now. Let's get some other teams in there. So that's why I kind of want LA out of it. But it's going to be crazy. I'm so excited for the playoffs to start. I've been watching playoff games from last year. I'm getting pumped. I'm ready. You know, the rivalries come alive. And if we have a Montreal-Boston series, I can take that again.
I would like to see Montreal-Boston in the first round. I think the one thing Habs fans are – I think there's a certain level of fear that they don't want to get knocked in the first round. I think that this has been such a promising year for the Habs that, you know, you've got this MVP caliber season and Carey Price. And it could be, like, the more I've thought about it, I think the MVP is essentially going to be between Carey and Ovechkin. And you can either make the argument that Ovechkin has finally figured it out, and with the help of Barry Trotz, who, like, Barry Trotz seems like a lock to win the Jack Adams. I know a lot of people are saying Bob Hartley in Calgary. You could even say, I think it's Mike Johnson in Vancouver. I mean, who had Vancouver in a playoff spot this year? We don't even talk about Vancouver on the show. Maybe we'll talk about him on Monday. But, like, the Canucks, sitting second in the division in the Pacific? Like, come on. Good for them. But who knows?
Yeah.
Well, like,
I think it's Willie Desjardins in Vancouver, and Mike
Willie
Johnson in Pittsburgh.
Just
for the Vancouver fans that don't go crazy.
I know a big faction of our audience is from Vancouver, so I wouldn't want to piss off my West Coast friends. Oh,
they actually have a good team this year. That team, Radim Vrbata. I said last year, I hope Montreal went after him. This guy, he has done a huge part of that team. He's made that team so successful. And those Twins, I mean, the Sedins aren't out of it. They want that Stanley Cup. I can see them being a dark horse this playoff series. That is a team to watch. And imagine this. We may have a Anaheim Ducks versus Winnipeg Jets series. That would be one of the most hard-hitting series I think we'd ever see in the last decade. It'd be crazy.
Each other. I don't think there's anything Winnipeg love more than to get Ryan Tesler, Corey Perry, and Ryan Getzlaf in their house in the first round in a best of 7. Anyway, this has been the Hockey Guys Podcast. My name is Hunter Crowther. It's my co-host Chris Shannon. Follow me at Hunter Crowther. Follow him at Chris Shannon. check out the Hockey Guys at thehockeyguys.net. We'll be back on Monday for more talk. And, yeah, Leafs suck.
GTO, wear a uniform.